Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. If you were to talk to most Latter-day Saints about Joseph Smith, probably they would say that he was one of the best examples of humankind that you could ever imagine. In fact, Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church, said pretty much just that, didn't he, Eric, on August 31st, 1871?
Yeah, in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 14, page 203, he says this: "Well now, examine the character of the Savior, and examine the characters of those who have written the Old and New Testaments, and then compare them with the character of Joseph Smith, the founder of this work, the man whom God called and to whom he gave the keys of priesthood, and through whom he has established his church and kingdom for the last time. And you will find that his character stands as fair as any man's mentioned in the Bible. We can find no person who presents a better character to the world when the facts are known than Joseph Smith Jr., the prophet, and his brother Hiram Smith, who was murdered with him."
We can find no person who presents a better character to the world when the facts are known than Joseph Smith Jr.
When the facts are known, well, that's something that we need to talk about.
That is the controversy. Now, I know that Brigham Young was exceptionally loyal to Joseph Smith. In fact, that's probably one of his legacies, is his loyalty to Joseph Smith. I don't think he was exercising hyperbole here. I think he probably really meant that, even though he admits at other times that Joseph Smith, of course, was not the perfect man. But still, when we look at some of the things that Joseph Smith said and some of the things that Joseph Smith did during his lifetime and the facts are known, I don't agree with Mr. Young that he presents a better character. I just don't agree with that. Now, in past broadcasts, we have mentioned occasionally a book that was written by two women authors, Mormon women authors, Linda King Newell and Valeen Tippetts Avery. It's a book titled Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith. And it is basically a look at early Mormonism, but focusing primarily not on Joseph Smith, as most people usually do. They are focusing instead on Joseph Smith's wife, Emma Hale Smith. Now, this book came out in the 1980s. It was a controversial book when it came out. There's no doubt about that. But it's been reprinted. This is the second edition that I'm looking at in my hands. It's available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore if you're interested. But I thought we would spend several days looking at this book, but not only looking at the book, but also looking at some of the history behind the book. Because if you've listened to these broadcasts, you know that I've mentioned more than once that this is one of the few books that I've read on Mormon history that really got me mad.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've read it too, and you probably had the same type of an emotion. How could a man like Joseph Smith, who claims to be a prophet of God, behave like he behaves to his wife, Emma? And in light of all that information that is out there and has been out there for quite a while, Brigham Young, who lived during that time, was he completely oblivious to some of the things that Joseph Smith was doing? It makes you wonder, did he just turn a blind eye to this? Did he just have it in for Emma that she was always wrong and Smith was right? I don't have answers to those kind of questions.
Well, and when you have polygamy, Brigham Young had many wives as well, and some were treated better than others. That's historical as well. They're on the same page, so to speak, when it comes to this. And so he's going to trust Joseph Smith much more than he ever would Emma Hale Smith.
Well, anyway, Emma Hale was born on July 10th, 1804, in Harmony Township, Pennsylvania. She died on April 30th, 1879. She died in Nauvoo, Illinois. And in fact, she died in the Nauvoo House, which was a house that was actually prophesied that had to be built by Joseph Smith. He never did finish it during his lifetime. She married Joseph Smith on January 17th, 1827. And because her father, Isaac Hale, was strongly against Emma marrying Smith, they ended up eloping to New York and were married in South Bainbridge, which is now Afton, New York. You have to ask yourself, why didn't Isaac Hale want his daughter to marry Joseph Smith if he was such a great character, as Brigham Young said? Well, there's reasons for that, and we're going to talk about that, but we're not going to talk about it today. Emma, as we know, and we've mentioned this many times, that Emma had a real big problem with plural marriage. She never liked the teaching. She never liked it at all. So if you look into Mormon history, you're going to find that Emma was not one of the proponents of this. In fact, it was after Joseph Smith was killed, after her husband was killed at Carthage Jail, she goes into, almost a denial on the whole polygamy issue and acts like it was never really taught at all, or at least not as any type of an official doctrine.
Oh, yeah, as the years went by. In fact, toward the end of her life, she gave an official affidavit where she denied all of that and said it never happened. And her son knew it happened, but still, they kind of held to that as being the truth.
Yeah, I think Jan Shipps, she's not a Mormon, but she is a historian and likes to deal with Mormonism a lot. I can't remember exactly the phrase she used, but something about Emma was involved in forgetting. Okay, she was wanting to forget all that, and so acted as if that part of history never really happened in the first place. You know, that's not so unusual. When we talk to a lot of Mormons and we ask them about these aspects of their history, they also want to act the same way. They want to act like that never happened. Don't bring up anything negative about Joseph Smith.
Well, I'm not trying to liken it exactly, but when a woman has gone through a tough marriage, even maybe had gone through abuse, whether physical or emotional, later they'll come to the support of their former husband or whatever else and say, he wasn't as bad as you're making him out to be. There's almost this protection. But it seems like Emma had that kind of philosophy as well. She wanted to protect the image of her husband.
It could be that. It could be. I don't want to play amateur psychiatrist or anything, but this book I found fascinating because it does kind of look at Mormonism through the lens of Emma Smith. And I think that's important. I think the fact that it was written by two Mormon women also makes it important. I would think that a lot of women reading this, and if they saw that it was written by men, probably wouldn't know what to do with that. But the fact that it's written by two females, I think, makes it very important. Now, Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. Valene Tippetts Avery, she passed away in 2006. Mm-hmm. But we want to read from an article that was found in Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought. This was volume 35, number 2. It was the summer 2002 edition. You can find this on the web if you were to put in all those details. It was an article called A History of Dialogue, Part 3, Coming of Age in Utah, 1982 to 1987. The portion of the article that is pertinent to our discussion begins on page 40. It's under a subheading called Controversy at Home. And we're going to take this rather slowly because I think there's a lot of information that's in this article. It was written by a man named, I think it's Devery is how he pronounces it. I'm not exactly sure. Devery S. Anderson is the author of this article. Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought. It's called A History of Dialogue, Part 3, Coming of Age in Utah, 1982 to 1987. And the part that we want to start with is where it says, on the 4th of October, 1984, Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith, written by, I don't know why he puts Linda's name as just Linda. Yeah. I guess he must know her personally. But it's actually Linda King Newell, with Valene Avery, was finally published and appeared in Utah bookstores. 9 years in the making and widely anticipated, this first printing sold out after 2 weeks, forcing a second printing the same week it was released nationally.
That's a great problem to have.
That is a great problem to have. Well, anyway, the article goes on to say, By the spring of 1985, the book had won the Best Book Award from the Mormon History Association and shared in the $10,000 Evans Biography Award, then administered through BYU and presented to the authors by University President Jeffrey R. Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Jeffrey R. Holland is now serving as an apostle in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The reason why we want to bring this out is when it came out, it's very popular right off the bat with Mormon readers. I'm sure there weren't a lot of non-Mormon readers that were reading this, but the fact that it was given an award through BYU and presented by Jeffrey R. Holland, I think, is ironic, as we're going to see in tomorrow's broadcast. But it says, the following October, the John Whitmer Historical Association awarded it its Best Book Award also.
So two Best Book Awards and a $10,000 Evans Biography Award from BYU. I mean, that's a lot of acclaim it's getting in its first year.
Now, you would think. And so here they write this book. It comes out. Now, I think we need to set this stage because what we're going to talk about tomorrow is probably going to shock a lot of people who don't know what happened after it received all these awards. You would think, wow, this is great. The church is going to get behind this thing. I mean, BYU, a church-owned school, gives it an award. You think the church is going to get behind it and really push this thing and want to get this information out about this early history that involves Joseph Smith and his wife, Emma. But as we're going to see tomorrow, that is not the case. In fact, the church was not very happy about this book. And as we read the book, and we're going to be going through some of the highlights of this book in coming days, I think you're going to see quite clearly and quite quickly why the Mormon church took the position that it did. Because what happened is with these two authors, they violated a very big rule in Mormonism, thou shalt not make Joseph Smith look bad, no matter how truthful it might be.
I was going to say, even if the facts say that this is the way it went?
We know that you just don't do that in Mormonism. The standard rule is you always make the church look good. You always make Joseph Smith look good. If you can't, you remain silent. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.
Hi, this is Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry and host of Viewpoint on Mormonism, heard daily on AM 820. I'm looking forward to meeting you at the May 17th Spring Vision Banquet for AM 820 and Utah Partnerships for Christ. Just go to www.upfc.org to order your tickets or call Russ East at 801-645-7433. That's 801-645-7433.